This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
The push to vaccinate.
When they know the facts, it'll help.
Plunging birth rate.
The lowest since 1979.
Can Donald Trump get back on Facebook?
They want to err on the side of free expression.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Biden's new goal, 70% of American adults to have at least one COVID vaccine shot by the 4th of July. Right now, the country's at 56%, and in some places, demand for the vaccine is dropping. Centers for Disease Control Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky on CBS This Morning.
We need to make it convenient. We need to have trusted messengers delivering the message. We need to have it in physicians' offices. Again, more trusted messengers.
CBS's David Begnaud says the plan is about simplicity.
Make getting the vaccine easier than ever by offering walk-in appointments at local pharmacies and expanding pop-up clinics.
Welcome back. This is your second dosage of Moderna.
Just like this FEMA-run site in Queen Anne's County, Maryland.
It's very important for people to have these mobile units.
Ida Jeffries, who just got her second dose, says she knows a few people who are still on the fence about this.
As they see their friends and their neighbors doing things that they can no longer do and they're no longer accepted in the group, perhaps that might be the persuasion.
The Biden administration is also planning to work with more local doctors, who they believe will be key to breaking through that vaccine distrust in local communities. Dr. Stephen Lakey is the chief medical officer at a hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado.
There are going to be a demographic that are going to be suspicious or have not heard the message. Having that impact of having our local leaders in those rural environments is going to be critical.
A new poll indicates more than half of us still wear a mask when leaving the house, but the number of vaccinated people wearing a mask is down to just over 60%. Correspondent Vicky Barker tells us the pandemic and the anxiety that's gone along with it is thought to have played a major role in just released government numbers.
The U.S. birth rate fell 4% last year. That's the biggest single-year decrease in nearly 50 years. The nation's maternity ward saw fewer women of every major race and ethnicity and nearly all age groups as the pandemic took hold, the birth rate falling to its lowest point since records began more than a century ago. The new figures suggest this generation of Americans won't have enough children to replace itself.
Facebook's oversight board is due to decide this morning on whether to restore former President Donald Trump's account, which was taken down the day after the January insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Ian Schur of our tech partner CNET.
What I'm going to be looking for is that this oversight board has said they want to err on the side of free expression. That suggests that President Trump may end up winning here. The larger question, though, is that there's a lot of other people in the governments of the world today that raise similar concerns as President Trump.
There could be a Republican vote as soon as next week to remove Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney from her House leadership post. Cheney was the highest-ranking Republican to vote to convict Mr. Trump at his second impeachment trial. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, who has supported the former president and his unfounded claims of a stolen election, indicates he can no longer stand up for her. Hundreds of thousands are without power in several southern states after another day of wicked storms. In the Birmingham, Alabama area, WIAT-TV's Malik Rankin tells us heavy rain caused major problems.
Floodwaters rose quickly, leaving residents little time to grab what they could.
We were going to leave and the car was flooded like halfway up.
Caitlin Wood and her dog had to be rescued by boat from their first floor apartment unit.
Whenever I saw the flash flood warning, we get it all the time, so I never thought that it was actually going to be, I need a boat to get out of my apartment complex because it's so deep.
At least three deaths and dozens of injuries have been blamed on this week's bad weather. The defense attorney for the former police officer convicted in the killing of George Floyd has gone to court asking for a new trial, alleging the court abused its discretion, and he wants the murder verdict impeached because of juror misconduct. That could be a reference to juror Brandon Mitchell, who was at a D.C. march last August. Mitchell says it was not to protest Floyd's death.
It was the 57th year anniversary for when Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. So, I mean, that march is focused on voter registration. Either way, I was going to D.C. for this event, even if George Floyd was still alive.
Investigators say an early review reveals support beams failed in the collapse of a Mexico City train overpass. CBS's Adrian Bard says a preliminary report is due by the end of the week.
A number of groups are now calling for the director of Mexico City's Metro Transit system to step down after this dreadful accident that so many here feel could have been avoided. Back in 2014, six of the 20 stations on the ill-fated Line 12 were closed temporarily. Since then, an independent French company has been in charge of maintenance, making test runs in off hours.
24 people were killed, more than 70 injured. There are new developments today in the political uncertainty in Israel.
Israel's president will appoint a new candidate to form a government after Prime Minister Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu failed to do so. Reaction on the street.
I think we need a new government here. I think it's been too long since Bibi was the prime minister.
But Netanyahu's rivals do not have a clear path to a government either. So after four inconclusive elections in 2 years, Israeli are bracing for a fifth election. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Well, 60 years ago today, the first American went into space.
CBS's Walter Cronkite was one of hundreds of journalists at Cape Canaveral that morning.
The weather is good, and it is 10 minutes to launch.
It had been just over 3 weeks since the Soviets made Yuri Gagarin the first human in space. That was done in secret. Alan Shepard's flight was broadcast live for the world to see and hear. Shepard's flight was 15 minutes, up and down, a modest but successful start for America's human spaceflight program. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Restraint was the order of the day for a law enforcement official in Southern California who encountered a situation that could have gotten out of hand.
It began as an ordinary traffic stop, but quickly turned nasty.
Here you go, Mexican racist.
The woman receiving the ticket verbally attacked the sheriff's deputy, who is Hispanic.
You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right?
The deputy didn't respond at all to the racist comments. At the end, he even offered some kind words.
There you go, dear. Have a good day.
L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva had praise for his officer.
Totally unflappable. No matter what she threw at him, he didn't take the bait.
Steve Futterman, CBS News.
South Carolina is one of just two states with no hate crimes legislation, but a bill named for a state lawmaker who was a victim in the 2015 Charleston church massacre moved closer to possible passage. It survived a Republican challenge in a state Senate committee. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds, but none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.